On the Vintage Video Podcast, we'll be reviewing every single wide release of the 1980s in chronological order. Over 250 episodes to enjoy and thousands more to come.
John enters the store now to order another can of ether. I picture him outside like Homer with the gasohol.
One for you, one for me.
I also like to think about that the kids renew their vow not to talk about the murder.
By murdering someone.
They're taking a blood oath with someone else's blood.
This stuff is 7 times more powerful than uranium. And
yeah.
They open up the vault that it's contained in, not wearing any kind of protective gear.
Yeah.
And it's wooden crates.
Wooden crates. It's like the guys in Chernobyl picking up the graphite rocks and going, nah, because there's rocks.
Hugging the elephant foot. Just like, oh, this thing's smooth.
It's so warm.
He turns to dial the number from the classified ad without even thinking about the numbers. We know this because we can hear his thoughts, and he's talking about how AJ was right that ninjas are misdirecting him.
They're misdirecting him.
I really wish that he'd turn to the phone and been like, six.
That's two fives. Vintage Video. We're rewatching the 80s so you don't have to.
Welcome to Why Two Killers. I'm Dr. Benny Graves, the cherubic little cupid with his little tushy that just needs to be squeezed up on a Valentine's Day. And with me, as always, is the sexually defiled orifice to my dead high schooler, the person who thinks fellatio is a character in Shakespeare, the Holocaust to my hymen, Hammy Swammy Blecky Sammy.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's not very nice. What are we drinking?
I have a soy milk latte.
And I have a pistachio cream cold brew the size of my ass.
I mean, that's not even the biggest size, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've never ordered a Trenta. I even think on my, like, Starbucks app, it doesn't let you unlock it until you, like, you fight Howard Schultz with, like, a sword or some shit. I don't know. I don't know somebody who could consume that much caffeine. Wait, I know you. Never mind.
I haven't consumed that much caffeine. I think they only do it for cold drinks, though, so.
Cold
I'll have drunk. To investigate, huh?
Well, we're going to be covering a film we've been very excited to cover. You could say, you would say, it's the reason why we started this podcast.
Yeah, I'd say this is probably why we started it. We watched this movie and we were like, huh.
From the fine year of 2000, Y2K, baby. Did you know that? Like, I was looking through Instagram and that's a tag now.
Yeah,
for
it's Y2K.
Utes.
The Utes.
To want to look. Like Tara Reid.
Do you know what's like so interesting is that the Y2K thing for us growing up was about like the oncoming doom of like the banking system failing.
Right, yeah.
And these guys are like, fuck!
Yeah, it's what a. Well, we've beaten this dead horse.
Whatever.
We've beaten this dead horse with blonde/red highlights.
Mm.
But yeah, we're covering Cherry Falls from the year 2000. And this year in horror, ooh, it's a banner year of movies we are going to cover. And the mix is pretty much like 80-20 hot doo-doo to something you'd be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go down. We got Dracula 2000.
Woo!
With Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler.
It's before I got real jocked. I'm dressed like fucking mind freak Chris Angel. The Cell. A beautiful movie by Tarsem that doesn't really have much substance to it.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. It's got some real... Silent Hill-esque feel to it.
I just know J-Lo's in it. That's all I know.
And Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Battle Royale. That movie was a big deal.
Did not see it, but I know all about
it. It's really good. It rules. It was one of those movies that if you were getting into horror or were into horror around this period of time...
They definitely talked about it,
People were like, oh, you got to check out Battle Royale. And
you know, general plot line, a Japanese school, a Japanese class of children are sent to an island where they have to fight to the death. It's dark and satirical and definitely, if you watered it down, if you made like a Sarah drink, which is like 80% bourbon, 20% Coke, but then you put it into a big gulp glass and then just added lukewarm Sprite, that's called the Hunger Games. The Hungry Games. We've got Hollow Man, which I heard
I liked Hollow Man.
I mean, he's rapey as hell.
Yeah, it's super rapey, but I saw it in theaters, and I remember being, like, terrified of the giant ape that turns invisible. That was pretty scary.
I like the idea that, what is it, Kevin Bacon?
K-Bakes, yep.
K-Bacon is like, I'm invisible now, and the first thing you do when you, as a man, as an average man, is you're like, it's raping time!
Well, I can't imagine that they wouldn't, considering now that they are visible, they still just do it, so...
Oh, do-do-do-do-do-do! That's a burn on our postmodern nightmare world we live in.
Yay.
We have Scary Movie.
Ugh.
I saw that movie in the theaters.
So did I. My mom brought my little brother to it. He was born in 1993, so you do that math and understand how not okay that was.
Well, I remember the scene with Miss Man and her scrotum falls out. I was like, whoa, because there's full frontal male nudity. Well, not full frontal, a ball sack falls out, and I was a little boy. But I appreciated Carmen Electra's contribution.
All right, that's enough.
Scream 3.
Woo!
No, universally.
Which now looks so much better. I will take Scream 3 over Scream 5 any fucking day.
You might
any
be
fucking
right.
Day.
Well, we're going to cover it eventually, so we'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll dissect that corpse, see if it's tastier. American Psycho, big fan of American
Loved
Psycho.
Yep.
Unfortunately, co-opted by the same type of like weird incel assholes who are obsessed with being Heath Ledger's Joker.
Mm.
But...
go join the Tyler Durdens over in Gen X.
Yeah. The, you know, great movie. Christian Bale does an amazing job. Even with
Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah, Jesse's
Reese
wife.
Witherspoon. What's Paul Allen? What's his stupid face? Jared Leto.
That's right. And
who
he gets mercifully chopped to pieces.
Oh, Justin Theroux.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple people in there.
And it's a pretty good adaptation as far as the Bret Easton Ellis source material goes.
You ever see the second one? With Mila Kunis and the Shat?
I think I watched the first
10 minutes of it and I was like, what in the goddamn fuck?
I think one night when me and Kyle and Ryan were drinking, like, we put it on in the background, and I think it was even too bad
for... That's what I mean. Like, even for my dumb brain that hadn't seen that much horror and should have been, like, absorbing all of that, I was just like, this is fucking dumb, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I like Ellis's books for the most part. I think he's a prick himself.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's...
It is hard to be rich and white and full of cocaine in the 80s.
Yeah, he's an egomaniac. But I think that in some ways... Like, I read Less Than Zero.
Today!
You did, I know, I let you borrow it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading it as a younger person, and I was like, oh my god, everyone's so disenfranchised, it's so dark and
but
bleak.
Everyone should watch the movie, because it's, what's his face? My god, who played
Robert
Star?
Robert Downey
Jr. R. Downs, the chick from The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Whose name I can't... Jamie Gertz.
There it is.
And then Andrew Garfield. No, what is his name? Andrew something? McCarthy?
Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah, let's go with
Andrew
that.
Andrew Garfield.
You people know who I'm talking about.
They're like, hey, what are you...
Screaming at home.
What do you think? Do you want to go to Nobu tonight? Because that's Andrew Garfield, because he's a baby.
Aww.
He'd be a baby at
He wouldn't
point.
Even be born at that point, I
it
think.
It just cuts to, like, a 2001, a like an embryo, just like...
Just, like, cuts to somebody's sternum. Okay, anyways, go on.
But actually, yeah, I mean, I had you read Less Than Zero, and as... You know, I said reading it as an adolescent, I was like, oh, this is so, like, so much gravitas and darkness to the world.
No.
But reading as an adult, reading it as an adult, I almost read it more as, like, these people are fucking clueless assholes.
Yeah.
And it still has an effect. I don't know if what effect Brett wanted to convey.
Well, I think it's kind of like reading Catcher in the Rye as a kid. It's very different than if you're like 40 and still reading it. And
I thought Holden Caulfield was an asshole all the time.
And that's like, well, I always thought you were supposed to hate Holden Caulfield. Like, I never knew that, like, you weren't. I also remember A Separate Piece, but that was definitely more about being gay.
I don't know.
If I remember.
When did that come out? Was that the 60s?
Yeah, this is all like
the 60s.
But do you know what's a true sad movie? Where the red fern grows.
Yeah, because some fucking dog gets his intestines ganked out.
Do you know, reading that book as like a sixth grader was like, to this day, I am still traumatized.
Yeah. I mean, had a real fucked up ending. That was some fucking Hostel type shit that happens at the end. Faust, which is an adaptation of a comic Jesse talks about all the time. And
is it a Van Peepy movie?
No, it's about this like kind of like anti-superhero guy. He's kind of like Spawn.
Take Goose to Spawn.
They actually covered it on Red Letter Media, Best of the Worst.
Oh, okay.
And jeezy, crazy. What a production. Ginger Snaps, which you didn't like. I enjoyed, but didn't love. And I think if you grew up with that movie, you probably have a stronger attachment to it.
Yeah, I grew up with The Craft instead of Ginger Snaps. So like,
Ginger Snaps is very grungy. It's got a very grunge.
It just like didn't work as well for me. I was like, neither of these fucking girls do I give a fuck about. Like, I was just like, meh. But they are Canadian, so they were very nice.
And
Oh, that's nice.
And a sequel to an episode, our first episode, that we will eventually be covering, a sequel to a film from the first episode we did, Urban Legends, Final Cut, where they go to a film school.
Eva Mendes is there.
And they're doing a film competition for the Hitchcock Award.
More like the Giant Cock Award.
So we've got trivia. All right. Jeffrey Wright, who wrote this, wrote Romper Stomper, which is like a neo-Nazi drama.
It's
got Russell Crowe in it.
No, I did not see it. I've heard of it.
This was shot in Virginia.
Virginia!
At the end of the film, spoiler alert, there was a massive orgy.
Yep.
And that was cut significantly to avoid an X rating. Do you remember that? That was such a thing at the time. It was like, they cut this so it wouldn't have a motherfucking X rating.
Which is like such an interesting idea because like, I doubt it was even that pornographic. You probably see more now on like, you know, an HBO show than you did in this movie.
But I guess maybe we've always been puritanical as shit about that kind of stuff. Youth scan fuck. this was shopped around for a release for a while and they couldn't get a distributor because of the content and they were concerned about censorship.
Yep.
So eventually it was released on the USA Network. The fucking USA
Network. I love USA. USA gave us some really good stuff. So I'm not going to knock USA.
And it
Burn Notice, anyone?
No. No. And as a result, but it does have Bruce Campbell. Like, yeah. He was like his sidekick.
His Q, I guess you would call
Not
it.
Not really. I think he kind of came in certain episodes. I don't think Bruce Campbell can
play like
a brainiac.
You know, for somebody who's never watched it, you seem to be telling somebody who does know something about it a lot.
I watched like one or two episodes.
I watched like seasons.
I got the gist. Yeah, so pretty much, it was released on USA. It's the most expensive TV movie, $14 million.
Jesus.
And we have the Blu-ray that was released by Scream Factory.
Yes, we do.
And they had attempted to get the original footage, but they weren't able to, which sucks. Because I think that there is an uncut version of this that is just like dynamite.
Dynamite, yeah.
What's going on with the soundtrack?
Soundtrack is like pretty unremarkable. So we have Sleep Together by Garbage.
Of course.
Little Things by Good Charlotte. How Soon Is Now by Snake River Conspiracy. Fader by Drugstore. Mouse on the Moon by Peter Bradley Adams. I don't know any of these songs except for the Good Charlotte song.
Is there
song.
A whole song in there?
I don't think so.
Maybe I was thinking the Garbage song was a whole song, which is a hit against
pretty,
Garbage. I'm
pretty
sorry.
Close. Well, it's like weird because like some websites list the soundtrack as different things, but for the most part, like it's all very like just those like artists.
So, but it's still definitely like a cohesive sort of grungy, you know, your friend who snorts fucking paint cleaners kind of.
Yeah, you know. It's not like a cool soundtrack. It's like those kids that got, like, him tattoos.
Yeah. And the kid who would, like, go to a party with a BB gun and shoot somebody.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, my guy?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to have a really shitty beer right now.
Well, it's like that dude we went to our friend's house and they had a bonfire. And that dude threw beer bottles into the fire. And I had to, like, scoop them out. Remember that?
I don't. But I remember the event, but I don't remember the party itself.
Yeah. It's like those types of kids where, like, they put everyone in danger.
Yeah, and he's always like, yeah, I got this scar because, like, I tried to get onto the Snoopy ride and stand on it, and I fucking got my intestines pulled out or some shit. It's pretty cool.
Do you know there's, like, a whole documentary about all the deaths at Disneyland, and a lot of them are from, like, monorail accidents or, like, people standing up and being beheaded?
Yes, I do. And now, unfortunately, like, a bunch of, like, Disney helicopters are going to show up and quietly assassinate us.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. You all heard it.
You all heard it. Better cast us in a Marvel movie. Or we'll
You know what? We don't even need to be in the movie. Just give us the paycheck.
Yeah. I want to be the voice of MODOK.
Can I be the voice of Scarlett Johansson's butt?
Hey, it's me! Poison your toys! Damn!
Woo! I got a butthole! The mouth!
That's right.
Butthole mouth!
That's a more interesting movie. And what do we got going on with the cast?
The cast does have some strong leads. So our lead girl is Brittany Murphy.
We're gonna call her The Murph.
The Murph.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.D. Jay Moore, who you know from all failed projects.
Yeah, Jay Moore. Jesus. Like,
I think I saw a billboard going into Philly that advertised Jay Moore like doing stand-up
no
or something.
Fucking
I'm
way.
Pretty sure it was Parks Casino. I may
no,
be
Jay
like
Moore
conflating.
Is like the regional manager for Olive Garden. That's what he looks like. He looks like he'd come in and he'd be like, hey guys, how's everybody doing? I brought some pens for everybody, some Olive Garden pens. Now I know we have the tour of Italy, but we're changing it up. You know what I mean?
Do you know in the tour of Italy, they can't stop you from getting 3 chicken parms?
You're like a fucking 30 Rock character. That's a Liz Lemon comment. Yeah, well, they can't stop me from getting 3 chicken parms with a tour of Italy.
No, they can't.
And then Jack would be like, oh, good God, Lemon.
Next, we have Michael Biehn, who you know as Kyle Reese.
Say it right.
The dad in Take Me Home Tonight.
Michael Biehn.
He's fine in this.
He's fine. He's slumming
whatever.
It. This is like, I'm pretty sure he had a lot of issues with drugs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is interesting because I forgot who's the guy from the Warriors who was supposed to be in Aliens. He's the tough guy.
Oh, James Remar.
James Remar was supposed to be Hicks in Aliens, but then James Remar had some substance abuse problems, so they replaced him with Michael Biehn, which is like, I don't know if you really traded up my guy. He's got some problems too, but great Hicks. I love Michael Biehn, obviously. Check out Sale of Satan's episode on The Terminator.
Bah, bah, bah. Hey, you're wearing a Terminator shirt right now.
I love this shirt.
Did you plan this?
No.
Oh, wow.
But I love that movie. I think it's a great action horror film. That's right. Action horror.
Action horror.
And I think he does a serviceable job in this.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not given a lot to work with.
No. Next, for only like 2.5 scenes or even 1.5 scene, is Jesse Bradford, which we all know as the brother in Bring It On. He was so cute.
He's Eliza Dushku's brother?
Yeah, he's Eliza
Dushku's
brother.
Yo, I'd be
Dushku's
doing incest
brother.
If I was Jesse Bradford.
Cool.
Straight up.
Thanks for that.
Straight up. She'd be getting stuck in a washing machine.
Nice. No one cares. And then the rest of the cast is a bunch of like fucking nobodies. Like,
whoa.
Literally, you could just scroll through and you're like, maybe I recognize you. Maybe I recognize you, but there's nobody fucking interesting.
That's fucking savage, dude. You're like crushing these young actors'
careers. Well, the lady that played
careers.
The mom, I kept thinking was like somebody important. Her name's Candy Clark, and she was in American Graffiti, and I watched that a very long time ago, so I cannot remember for the life of me who she was.
American Graffito.
Yeah, you've never seen that, so.
It's a George Lucas joint.
Mm-hmm.
Before he started to make little like space bears and, you know, it's like poetry. I went from, you know, coming of age to space bears.
Space bears.
We should front load this and say that this is a extremely problematic film.
Yeah.
And we should also say that
this is very 2000s, though. This is like it being problematic and all the shit that happened. You're like, oh, that would never happen. No, in the 2000s, all this stupid shit is just like this.
Yeah, and given recent events in American politics and stuff, this is almost like darker still than it was before.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've sort of unmasked that so many people in power in America are sexual abusers and predators, and a lot of times nothing is done about it.
Yeah.
Yippee.
Ooh.
You're a grand old flag. You're a high-flying flag. Go watch Rolling Thunder. So movie starts, right?
Right.
We have an establishing shot of a small wooded town. Cherry Falls.
That's the water.
The kid from Bring It On is pretending to be
Jesse Bradford.
An alien so he can fuck Stacy up at the falls. And he's being really creepy. Like, he's a good looking kid.
Yeah,
he doesn't
he's
need
very
to
cute.
Do this bit.
No. Also, by the way, have you ever made out like on the side of the road like this? Like, I've never
I did a lot.
Never.
In high school, yeah.
Never
I would
went,
park
like
one block down from my house and just suck face.
No, that's fine. Like on the side streets, I mean, that's all cool. But like, did you ever drive into the woods to make out?
Oh, no, but I guess it depends on where you live, right?
I guess, whatever.
And he's like, oh, he has a vanity plate that says Supnova. So this boy needs to die.
Yeah, he anybody with a vanity plate needs to die.
Every time I think of that, like every time I see something I hate, I think of that part in Halloween 2018 where they're listening to the tape of Dr. Loomis and it's like warbling and he's like, it needs to die. It needs to die. So that's what I thought when I saw the vanity plate. You know, he's looking, there's a commotion.
Commotion.
There's a ruckus behind him.
A ruckus? What kind of ruckus?
Can you describe the ruckus? And he's like, oh, Ben, Mark, but it's not Ben or Mark.
Why would your friends parked be hanging them. Out and you're like, okay, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe they're harassing him. I don't know. It's neither of his friends who are haranguing him in a car behind him. It's Slipknot by way of a giallo / we're almost the full way to Malignant here.
Oof, yeah.
And he gets fucking murder-dirtered. We don't get to see a lot of it. I think there's a little bit of a spray.
We should also state that you should definitely watch this movie because there's some quick cuts. You don't see gore, but there what you can kind of see is like it leads your imagination in a good place. It's like a Texas Chainsaw effect, you know? Like you don't see the violence, but you can imagine that it's
really
know.
Crushing for me because again, like it's the thought of what I'm missing.
Yeah.
That's why I love Friday the 13th and New Blood so much because like that's the coolest Jason and Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's.
Bernie!
Bernie!
Yeah, Bernie!
But, it also has all of its kills cut and like they couldn't get them back or they're in like really shitty shape or something like that.
Yeah.
And it really sucks because there's so many cool scenes.
There's
like,
got to be some fucking nerd out there or some nerd's mom with this fucking thing.
Like, with this, definitely. But I don't know if it was a matter of like someone having their greedy hands around it.
That's
and
what
not
it always
to give
is,
it up.
Though.
It's, yeah.
It's so annoying.
So Stacy, after watching Jesse Bradford get murked, she also gets murked.
Yep.
And we see like the killer has all these like, set it and forget it esque telemarketer like knife set
you
would get where he has like a handle that disconnects and he can attach different knife blades to it.
It's very of its time.
yeah he's got some real like I said he's got some real Slipknot giallo character from the Matrix type shit going on. Anyway, Stacy gets murdered.
Oh no.
And we cut to the Murph.
Woo, Brendan Murphy.
And the Murph is smooching it up with a guy who's like Stephen Dorff's understudy.
This kid, what's his name again?
Kenny.
Ugh, somebody kill him.
You bastards.
But yeah, no, this kid and the Murph are like making out and he's like so fucking ugly. He's like the wannabe Devon Sawa.
He's got, yeah, there's nothing going on. His
hair is dumb.
Kenny is the kid at the party who would shoot you with a BB gun.
Ugh.
Yeah.
He's one of the kids who think Columbine was, like, kind of cool.
He would. Oh, he'd make jokes about it all the time. To the point where, like, if you made the occasional actually funny joke about it, it wouldn't matter because Kenny's just constantly prattling on about, like, the trench coat mafia.
Yeah.
Ugh. But anyway, they're smooching and they're kind of having a lover's quarrel because she's like... Is that the part of the lover's quarrel?
Yeah, it's the quarrel.
I'm glad that like she talks like munchies.
Strong recommend.
Essentially, she doesn't want to fuck yet. And he's like, what am I doing here? I want
to
fuck.
Yes, that's how to get women to have sex with you, to yell at them. I mean, actually, that works for most men.
Yeah. And then Murph's mom shows up. And Murph's mom is like weirdly horny
for
Kenny.
Yeah, she's like horny for Kenny. And I was like, when we first watched this, we were both like,
what's happening?
What is happening?
There's a very like...
It's like very sexual. She's like, do you have a cigarette,
weird.
Kenny?
Yeah.
Well, didn't we describe this as like David Lynch's like, you know, Scream?
That's a lot of credit. It's sort
but,
of
like...
But like
in the most like easy way to say it would be that.
It's like the Kirkland version of a David Lynch slasher.
I will accept that.
Okay.
Or like it's the up and up version of
BJ's, a Sam's Club version. And yeah, so she comes up, she's like, Kenny, you want a cigarette? And they were having like some pretty heavy flirtation. She definitely wants to get stuck in a washing machine at Kenny's house.
Oh yeah, totally. She wants to do his laundry and get stuck in there and then like, you know.
Yeah, and I guess like the idea is that everyone's horny but Brittany Murphy, or that like
I guess,
or that Kenny has a super high sex drive, so he'll fuck anything that moves. I don't know, but she's definitely putting out vibes.
Yeah, it's all very right? odd.
And him and Murph have like the argument and are essentially like, "Oh, we're gonna break up because you won't put out." And then like. Murph gets pissed off. She goes to see her mom, and her mom's like, "You're like a tiny little mouse." And I was like, "What the fuck is going on with these marital relations? These familial relationships?"
Also, Brittany Murphy's hair changes throughout this entire movie. I think some of it's a wig, and some of it is like maybe her hair or a better wig. But there's definitely some moments where she looks like just like a mop top. Like it is very awkward.
Yeah, it's. They have like just really stilted interactions. A lot of people in this movie have these very stilted interactions. And I wonder, is it intentional? I don't know.
Well, there's a lot about this movie where you're like, is this intentional or badly done? And you never really know.
Well, Michael Biehn shows up. He's Sheriff Daddy.
Mogulbar.
And he lays down the law. And as we discover, he also lays down other things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a scene where Brittany Murphy's kind of sleepwalking.
Yeah, she like wakes up from her bed because her dad leaves the house.
Because he's going to the site of the murder of Jesse Bradford and Stasi.
And I don't know if that timeline makes sense, but all right, fine, whatever.
So Kyle Reese and the deputy, who is, she was in Twin Peaks, actually. I think we looked her up.
Oh, yeah.
She was in like, a bunch of Lynch stuff.
Yeah.
Find the body. And you get like, it's like a soundboard scream. It's like, that happens when they find the body. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, because Stacy is like attached to a tree.
She's been like gutted.
And there's like, she's like stuck on a tree, which I also wonder how the killer got her out there. Like you'd have to huck her. I don't know.
He hucked her. And she has the word virgin tattooed on her thigh.
Well, it's carved into her thigh.
With a knife.
With a knife.
And we cut to Murph. She's at her high school, her high school.
Yes,
this is not a high school. This is a high school.
What kind of hat is she wearing?
She's wearing one of those like rabbit type hats.
Yeah,
those, like, Mickey Mouse knitted hats that were around at the time that only alt people wore.
So gross.
And she meets her friend who's 1,000,000% coded as gay.
Yep.
His name is Timmy. And he definitely auditioned for Harmony Korine's Kids, but didn't get the role. And he tells her all about the murder. He's like, come on, bitch.
Yeah, they're trying to do that Scream dialogue where it's like, oh my God, bitch, these bitches got like fucking brutalized. Isn't that cool? And you're like, this is not coming off as natural. Like, yeah.
It comes off as weird.
It's just
like the rest of the movie.
So weird.
Kenny is comforting another chick. He's already.
Oh, he's already moved on.
His arms around another babe.
A bab.
Yeah, and the sheriff meets up with Principal Sisler.
Sisler!
They got a full salad bar at his house.
Oh, I was just thinking about a salad bar. How nice.
And basically, Michael Biehn's like, hey, this happened. And both of them kind of share a knowing glance.
Dun, dun, dun.
Meanwhile, class has started, and Professor Jay Moore, who shops at a Burlington coat factory, he comforts his disengaged class of edgy youths.
Oh my God, they're so edgy in this scene, and it's, yet again, this movie saw Scream and was like, huh, that seems like a good idea, let's just do what they do. And this scene is just that, it's like the cool kids with the witty banter, and it's like, teenagers are fucking stupid, my guy.
Like, well, it's like, they wouldn't be talking somebody making you a drink, and they're like, we're gonna throw a little bit of Scream in here. We're gonna throw just a dash of horror noir, a little bit of edginess, and I'm gonna put 5 shots of the bass line from that Mudvayne song in. That's what this movie is. And basically everyone's yucking it up, and they're all complaining about how like, oh, video games, you should be fucking playing your fucking gay ass video games, because that's how they talked then.
Yeah.
And there's like some kind of jocks, but they're kind of derpos.
They're just derpos, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we find out that Murph's friend is in love with this guy, Mark, who's a walking, like, Xanax.
He is fucking gross, dude. Fucking gross.
He has like an unoccupied hamster wheel in his head.
Yes.
Like if it was a Simpsons gag, there wouldn't be like a sad hamster or a tired hamster.
There'd be no
hamster. There's no hamster. Yeah. It's just bedding like whoosh.
I don't know if he's supposed to be coded as just a stoner, but he's like straight up stupid, my guy. Like, he's just useless. I would want to punch him in the fucking face.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, Murph's friend, who's pretty cute.
Yeah.
She's into him and his, like, dead eyes.
Yeah, and he, like, builds, like, a...
eyes.
Doesn't he build, like, a potato mountain
or
something?
We're getting to it. Ugh. Because we cut to the cafeteria. Basically, to sum up the scene in the classroom, Jay Moore's like, guys, we gotta, you know, emote and talk about this. And we find out that there are some nerds in the school, and there's, like, the slutty girl, and there's the jocks and stuff like that. But we cut to the cafeteria, and there is a fight in the cafeteria because this chick is accused of having blown a dude, but she didn't blow
she
the
didn't.
Dude. And that might be a problem for her later.
Oh, no.
That she didn't blow. Did you ever see any, like, fights in your cafeteria? You ever had
that? Oh my god, I can't remember. I used to, like, so our cafeteria is weird in high school. We had two cafeterias. So think of, like, an H-shaped, like, you know, cafeteria. So there's one cafeteria on one side, one on the other, and then in the middle connected was, like, the food serving area. Sure. So you could enter in that way. But there was also a foyer. I was one of the really cool goth kids, so I played hacky sack in that foyer, so I wasn't often, like, in the lunchrooms. We also used to be able to go outside. We used to have, like, I guess almost like a lanai kind of set up outside that you could go outside and eat on, like,
lanai.
Benches and stuff like that. And then, of course, people just left trash out there and got into, like, ruckuses. So we were banned from going outside. So,
dude, that didn't answer my question. But, so there was never
what
a
I'm
fight.
Saying is that I can't remember because I was too cool hanging out with the other goth kids playing hacky sack.
I feel like you were setting yourself up for failure if you tried to have a fight in the cafeteria, because there were so many administrators there.
Yeah, there was always administrators.
Most fights
in there.
I saw would happen in the halls. And actually,
yeah, we had more fights in the hallways than
it's
anything
really funny.
Else.
I saw this one, like, dirtbag dude beat up another dirtbag dude over a girl. That girl ended up being my kind of high school girlfriend.
Aww.
Jokes on both of them, but biggest joke on me. She wasn't very nice. Yeah, there's a big fight in the cafeteria.
I saw a lot more girl fights in high school.
Dude, girl fights are fucking serious.
Yo, like, they would, like, fucking throw down. I remember that shit. Like, the boys wouldn't fight as much because they were just too busy being dumbasses. But, like, the girls would, like, fuck bitches up. Because remember, like, you had all those white girls in your high school that pretended they were, like, from the ghetto. And they'd all, like, be so obnoxious. It was always them and the trailer park girls, like, fucking going at it. Ooh. And I was just like,
lots of hair pulling. Just, like, chunks of hair flying everywhere. Like a fight between two Muppets.
Ugh.
Yeah, and... Oh, in the cafeteria, there's more about, like, Murph's friend being in love with Mark, and Mark's like, I love these ribs.
Ribs.
I don't know why. They're just disaffected youth, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
There's more of them talking about, like, boning. Oh, you want to bone him? Annette, who was the girl who said she didn't blow anybody, gets taken away by administrators.
Yep.
Smash cut to her in her McMansion. Her parents.
Oh my god, fuck her. This house is gorgeous.
Yeah, her parents are going out to, like, an upscale Outback Steakhouse or something like that.
Yeah, baby.
And they're going to have two blooming onions. You know how much caloric intake
that's
that
is? That's like 40,000 calories.
Yeah, I know. And she stays indoors, and there's a knock on the door, and a woman who we can't identify says that they are Laura Lee Sherman. Put that name in your pocket for later.
Put it in your pocket, never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away. Never let it fade away.
Thank you.
But she stupidly opens the door, which you would never do, and she gets murdered.
Yeah, she gets fucking...
Meanwhile, Murph and Daddy Kyle Reese are doing sexually tense self-defense exercises.
Yeah, it's, like, weird. Like, here's the thing, is my dad was a cop, which you know, obviously.
You guys were,
like,
always wrestling, right?
No, but my dad would often be like, all right, we're going to practice how you're going to get away if a guy's trying to choke you. And, like, I'm numbing this up. I remember when we still lived in Kingston, so I was like... under the age of 10.
Little did we know you'd be running into those hands later on.
Yes, interesting. But, like, he would, like, pretend to choke me, and he'd, like, teach me how to, like, slip out of, like, being choked or, like, being, like, kidnapped. So, like, this was, like, a regular occurrence. My dad, like, as, like, little kids, he'd be like, all right, I'm gonna teach you how to get away from, like, a, you know, a murderer. And I'd be like, can I just keep playing Xbox? Like,
well, in fairness, this is more like,
this is weird.
This belongs in a movie where it's like a guy teaching a girl martial arts, or they're both martial artists, and yeah. there's sexual tension, and yeah, they no. land on top of each other, and they do a super close-up shot of them about to kiss.
Well, this is the point of my story, is like, as somebody who's actually had to go through this, it's not sexy, it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah,
and well, also that's your dad, so that's fucking weird.
But in the middle of them almost Frenching each other, Daddy Beans has to go to the crime scene where Annette was killed.
Aww.
And we do kind of like a quick bit of the FBI being like, this is our crime scene. And then the police being like, this is our crime
scene.
That
was like such a fun thing they did in the 90s and the 2000s. It was like jurisdictional like disputes, which definitely makes sense because that's how 9/11 happened, by the way. But yeah, it's like,
well,
so
that's
funny.
Because the steel beans couldn't be turned into
yeah,
chili
beans,
or something
like that.
Yeah,
the Michael beans couldn't be turned into chili. That's yeah. how it was.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like such an excuse we used for things to happen, or like to create like a false tension, was like, oh, these FBI guys want to steal my
We love that.
Crime
we love
scene.
The this is my crime scene shit.
Yeah, I don't. Well, states' rights, apparently.
We find out. We have to cut, of course, after the this is my crime scene, we have to cut to the obligatory morgue scene. And now they have to inspect the body, a la Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh.
And we find out that the victims are virgins.
Damn.
And I think this is the first time that we find out that the word virgin was carved into their bodies.
Yeah.
We also find out that in addition to being virgins, they were not sexually assaulted by the killer.
What a gracious gesture.
We get the scene that is a trailer moment and should be a trailer
moment.
Oh,
yeah.
Because Michael Biehn returns from the crime scene.
Oof.
He's putting two and two together, and literally there have been two kills. He realizes that, like, people who fucked are...
safe.
Safe. And he basically is like, he's asking intrusive questions about how much Murph has done.
It's
and he's
very
like,
weird.
Have you gone further than that? Can you go further than you have? Ooh. I need my daughter to fuck!
It's so uncomfortable. This movie is like, it's like somebody that grew up with no parents. You know what I mean? They're like, how do children parent interact? I not know.
It also is pretty much like the selling point of this movie
oh,
is
yeah,
that scene.
Yeah.
I remember we watched the trailer for it and I was like, oh my god, well, we have to watch this.
Well, like, you told me about this movie, and you're like, there's this movie called Cherry Falls, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And you're like, here's a trailer, and I was like, wait a tick. Like, this actually looks pretty great. Because Cherry Falls sounds like such a fucking stupid name of a
oh,
movie.
Oh no, I thought
it's
it was perfect.
So fucking stupid.
Because the trailer is like, it shows the town of Cherry Falls, and I think it like flashes red.
Yeah.
Then it's a shot of Brittany Murphy and Michael Biehn from the year 2000, and I was like, oh my god, one cherry? Oh my god, two cherries? And then he's like, can you fuck? Three cherries, ding, 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 and then the coins are coming out at me. They're jizzing coins all over me.
Have you ever won at a slot machine?
No.
I think I only ever won like $2.
No, gambling is a scam.
Oh, it is a scam.
And a horrible, horrible addiction that we think is totally okay in America because, you know, we built it on all the bodies of the indigenous people.
Go ask my brother about playing dice. Adam always wants to play dice.
Yeah, but we're like playing dice in our living room and the stakes are shots.
He'll run it sometimes at Sal's house and he'll get like 40, 50 bucks.
Great. I'm glad your brother's on happy days.
Which one do you think he'd be? Not Potsy, though, definitely.
No, I think he'd be Fonzie.
Hey, cool.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. So Professor Moore and Murph are like hanging out, and there
you
is
can
no...
tell that she like kind of wants. She has like a crush on him.
Sure,
a
he's smart,
crush.
And he's Jay Moore.
Well, I think it's also like the idea that like he's nice, and they like share common interests. And her dad, Michael Biehn, is constantly running off trying to find Sarah Connor. So you know, she's like looking for a buddy, and her friend's like obsessed with a dumb face boy.
Well, yeah, they're having like a little powwow about T.S. Eliot.
Cool.
And then they're like they hear a sound, and they go to investigate it,
mm-hmm.
and they see literal like clown shoes. There are fucking clown
There's
shoes.
There's like the Windows 98 logo on some guy's shoe, which will come into play later.
It will. But Murph clearly wants some more. See what I did there?
No, I don't understand.
See what I did?
I don't understand.
Yeah. Say no more. Say no more.
I can't also state like Jay Moore as like your crush? Ugh.
Well, yeah. Sisler and Bean are Sisler meeting
and Bean
up again.
Solving crimes.
Well, committing crimes, as it turns out. So Principal Sisler and Michael Bean are like, oh, we have to have a meeting. We'll invite the parents. We have to talk about this. There's too much connective tissue to students in the school.
You know what's so interesting is I've never once been to like one of these meetings, or like my parents have went to one of these meetings where like there was murders in a town and like there was a conference at the school. Like I went to South Brunswick. I don't know if you knew this, but like there was a kid that killed his fucking parents. There was like another kid that killed his dad, then eventually killed himself.
You don't have to brag, Sarah.
And we had like at least 2 suicides a year when I was in high school. There was never any meetings. Never.
Well, I mean, like that there's like a lot of hustle to get all those people together, you know? Just let it happen.
Okay.
And basically, yeah, they're having a meeting, they're powwowing again, and they're saying they need to have a meeting for all of the parents to inform them about what's going on. And Sizzler's like, I don't want to have a fucking fuck fest on my hands.
A fuck fest.
And he called it a fuck fest. I was like, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Timmy and the
Murph,
watch the assembly on the killings.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns into not a fuckfest, but a WrestleMania, because the parents are like, your daughter's a slut. No, your daughter's a fucking slut.
I always love when parents get into brawls into movies, because it's like, it's just the saddest fights ever. And you're like, yeah.
Well, Timmy then,
we all have back problems.
He goes to take some photographs, I guess, of the meeting.
Yeah, because he's like on the school paper. Yeah, or, like,
and then
has
he disappears.
Zine. Oh, yeah.
And she follows him through like the labyrinthine castle that is this school.
Oh, my God. This school is
to, like a downstairs shower area.
Yeah. Well, I assume there's like the locker rooms.
Yeah. And then Murph finds him. He's dead. Goodbye,
Timmy. Also, he dies within like 20 seconds, by the way. He like walks away to take a phone call, and he like goes down the locker, so however long it takes you to walk downstairs, and then he's fucking dead.
Timmy had to return to his home planet. But look, you're right. This is his second scene, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Goodbye, movie.
Bye.
And we get to see Murph do some cat and mouse with the killer, and there's some like trance beats, like down, 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 down. Okay, good. Yours was more like soca music, but I'll take it.
How about you fuck yourself?
I mean, it made me want a Jamaican beef patty or something. Dun, 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 dun. Some really spicy beanies.
Ooh, beans.
Some up. Plátanos. Maduros. Murph gets taken to the... Or Murph actually hides, or she like... She ends up at their incredibly well-funded bio lab.
Yo, this is the nicest science lab I've ever seen. And I went to a rich kid's school. Like, our science lab did not look like this. Nor did we have a giant shark.
They have a giant hanging shark. They might as well have like a fucking in captivity snow leopard there.
Yeah.
They have like 30 different reptiles in there. There's all sorts of
beakers,
vials of bubbling juice that you would never have out. And the killer comes after her. Luckily she neutralizes him using the hanging shark.
The hanging shark. It was a shark. She jumped the shark.
But not before, I think, he actually tries to carve the...
Well, he like gets her leg a little bit, and she gets a little bit of a cut.
And we get more of the killer. He's definitely got some real hard giallo vibes going on. His face is hidden all the time with the dark hair, big trench coat, gloves.
He reminded me of the one brother in House of Wax, Vincent, that does all the sculpting.
Okay, that's fair. A composite sketch is made at the police station,
dun, dun.
And Bean is like, oh no, I don't know where that image came from.
Oh no, I've never seen anybody that's ever looked like that. But I gotta go call my friend the principal, bye.
That's right, he calls Principal Sizzler, have a steak and shrimp platter, and sends over the image of the malignant killer, and then Murph is listening on the other line, and... kids back in the day, if you picked up a phone and it was attached to the other phone lines, you could hear what the people talking on the phone were saying.
What?
That's right. You could order as many sarsaparillas as you wanted.
What?
And basically she overhears them talking and they're discussing Laura Lee Sherman.
Mm.
Okay. Remember that name that was in your pocket? Now take it out and look at it. Okay. Now put it back.
Put
in
it back.
Pocket.
Got it.
Okay. And Bean actually tracked the whereabouts of Laura Lee Sherman to...
But why would he care?
West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home.
Take me home. Hear me forth to the ham. Okay, go on.
Yeah. And Murph finds out after school is out that day that they are throwing a fuck fest.
Fuck fest.
They do refer to it as a Hymen Holocaust.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. We are Hymen Holocaust.
Would that be the name of your thrash band?
That's a really good name.
Trademarked it. Don't anybody take it.
as soon as they announce this fuck fest, basically Kenny shows up and he's like, "Oh, Murph, I love you. You want to go to the fuck fest?"
Well, like, he shows back up because Brittany Murphy comes into school the next day after she was attacked. And
trauma.
She's like, trauma. Well, this is like very accurate. It's like, you knew anybody that like got hurt or sort of hurt in high school and they'd come in and like everybody flocked over them and like praise them as a hero. That's basically what happened here. And then Kenny was like, "Oh, Brittany Murphy, I still love you."
Yeah, this is pretty much the softcore version of the party they throw in the third act of Scream.
Yeah.
That's what they're planning. And we have the girls and boys go off in separate areas to discuss the upcoming Hymen Holocaust.
They also all act like they've never had sex, which is like fine if they were all freshmen, but they're definitely supposed to be like juniors.
Well, some
seniors.
Of them have, because the head horny girl, Cindy, does like a Patton-esque speech about you're not going to have an orgasm. And remember, never forget Pearl Harbor on my pussy. And then meanwhile, the dudes are smoking a bowl and they're like, we fucking love that these killings are going to get us cummies.
I mean, men would use that to their advantage.
Amber is the color of my energy. That's a callback to a previous episode. Then they do a delightful chant, which we're going to save until the end of the episode. We'll be doing it in place of our, normal sign off.
Yeah.
It is a work of art. Murph's mom is making cookies, burning a good percentage of them.
She's drinking cooking sherry. Chugging cooking sherry. I don't like, I'm somebody who drinks tequila and I've had Malort. Like, I understand like what maybe people find offensive, but even I find offensive cooking sherry and chugging it. Oh my God. Oh.
Well, Murph now knows Laura Lee Sherman is a figure from the past, right? And she tries to confront her mom about it. And her mom's like, "I don't know nothing about that. I'm not enabling a horrible system."
Her mom feels also like a pillhead.
Yeah, she's got some
like,
real...
very phased out.
She's both dazed and confused, if you will. Yeah, they... She pretty much denies anything. Then she goes to the library to do research.
Research.
I think on microfiche.
On microfiche?
Which is Sarah's dream.
Oh, all I ever want to do is just solve a crime with microfiche. That's all. It doesn't have to be a big crime, but I want to be like sitting in a library, having a pen hang out the side of my mouth, being on microfiche, just scrolling through the screen illuminates my face because everything else is dark behind me. That's all I want. That's my small want in this world.
But also, in addition to doing that research, I believe this scene is her and her mom are having like a confrontation in the library. Where her mom is smoking, by the way, in the library.
Her mom smokes like everywhere and it's perfect.
And she reveals, in addition to the information that we've learned, that Laura Lee Sherman was a weird girl.
Yeah.
I put big parent, what is it, quotations around
air
that?
Quotes, yeah.
And she was raped by
but
a bunch of football stars.
Yep. She was weird.
Because she was a loner. And I honestly think that type of bullshit would probably hold up in court now.
Well, yeah, like, so the idea is that Laura Lee Sherman was, like, your weirdo goth, like, Ally Sheedy character, and then the football dudes raped her, and then she was like, "Hey, you guys fucking raped me," and they're like, "Well, nobody in the town believed
it." Well, listen, they're going to be playing for the Baltimore Ravens, so, you know, forget about it.
And they were just like, "Well, these boys are going to be football stars, so we don't believe you. Bye, movie."
Well, there were four men involved.
Four.
Okay. Two of them.
Who are they, though?
Have left town.
Okay, but who are the other two?
Oh, my God. Principal Sisley and Michael Biehn.
What? The only other two male characters in this movie. Appropriate age.
So Michael Biehn's a rapist.
Yeah, he's like a straight up fucking rapist.
And Principal
Sisley's
a rapist.
And they try to like write it off as like, "Oh, Michael Biehn was so drunk and his friends put him on top of her."
Oh, wait. Brett Kavanaugh was the one who left town.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Got him.
To join his friend Weinstein. But yeah, no, like they're like, "Oh, well, he didn't mean to rape her," and I'm like, "Yeah, no, I don't think that's how that works."
Well, this is where the very disgusting and very realized aspect of the story changes the dynamics of the film. Because if you are watching it through I think any lens, if you're a moral individual, you're like, "Oh, I see." So two high administrative figures in this town committed an unbelievable act, like an unbelievable, disgusting crime. When they were in high school, which was then swept under the rug.
Yep.
And they now have positions of power and are unquestioned.
Yep. That doesn't happen today, does it?
No, it's over. Obama was president for two terms. It's over.
Yeah.
I promise you, whatever happened at Cherry Falls will not happen in the United States from now on.
Bye, movie.
R.I.P. Brittany Murphy.
Aw, R.I.P.D.
Yeah, and the sheriff Michael Bain, goes to Laurelee Sherman's dilapidated home.
This what house does he is find? Fucked up,
and he finds evidence of a child raised in the basement.
Whoa!
Who was abused? Maybe.
Okay, so like when you find out who the killer is and who this baby is, you're like, okay, so why would this bitch still have a fucking like baby like carriage but thing also, in the basement? I don't understand.
Don't quote me on it. That when he goes downstairs, they do like audio cues of a baby being like.
They do. I'm pretty sure.
Well, love Shaq, baby.
Isn't it like a mother being like, "Shut the fuck up, you're annoying." I think it's something like that.
It's a soundscape meant to emphasize that a kid was fucked up here.
Man, you're fucked up.
And also, I mean, obviously, Laurelee Sherman had a child as a result of being raped.
So whose baby is it, bro?
Well, I think the more important thing is that it's like, look what happened. No, it's not bad that those guys raped that woman. It's bad that she abused that kid.
Well, isn't that the part, like, in the 2000s that they miss? And it's like, I bet that woman wouldn't have turned to, like, abusive behavior if she herself wasn't a victim of rape and then not believed.
No.
Maybe that a system failed her and her only way to act things out was to be, like, violent towards her child.
No, fraternities are awesome. Haven't you seen Animal House?
Animal House, and then the principal and the police station guy did a rape, and everyone forgot about it.
Anyways, move on.
Until the Giallo killer showed up.
We cut to Kenny and Murph.
Murph.
Right before Michael Bean leaves the cabin, I think it's implied that Laurelee Sherman is still there.
Yeah, that she's like watching him from like afar.
Right, so maybe she's the killer. Spoiler alert, she's not the killer.
But how is that possible?
Then we cut to Kenny and Murph, and we find out in the scene, though, that Kenny is the keeper of the clown shoes. He's the one who's wearing the clown shoes.
Yeah, he does have the Windows 98 shoes. It looks like a Windows 98 logo.
Goodbye. And yeah, he was the one wearing the clown shoes in the darkness, smoking a cigarette, which, again, this comes to nothing. And him and Murph do foot stuff.
Oh, this is the grossest part of the movie. He's like sucking up on her toesies and it's
fucking gross. No. What's happening is this. Kenny, who before could not control his libido, meets up with Murph. She takes off her little Mary Jane.
She's like got a cami.
Stinky
like,
little tootsies pop out. And she's like jamming them into his face.
Oh.
And then she's like, come on, let's fuck. Come on. Don't you want to fuck? Didn't you want to fuck before? And Kenny's like, I don't know. And she pretty much blue balls him while at the same time like giving him exactly what he wanted. It's really bizarre. Like Kenny has been portrayed up until this point as the guy who's like, I got to get laid.
Yeah.
And then Murph's like, peep on this vulva, and he's like, I'm just scared.
Yeah, but he's willing to suck her toes. It is so fucking gross. Like, ew, it's just so gross.
Also, teenagers aren't as hygienic as they should be.
Okay, but even when I was a teenager, I wasn't gonna suck up on some toesies.
Well, you know, don't yuck somebody else's yum, but feet are disgusting.
Okay, I don't have a problem with you sucking up on them toesies.
I'm not sucking up on them toesies.
That bitch was not wearing socks or even clean feet. She's got like all day sweat feet. That's disgusting.
She had like a toe ring you could suck off.
Just get stuck in your throat.
So Bean returns to town.
Bean return.
The return of the Bean.
The Bean's
and
return.
And he finds Sizzler's body with a virgin knot carved into his head.
It felt like a Borat thing. Virgin knot.
I mean, you could have just written not virgin. By the way, I have written here Sarah Borat joke because I knew you'd make that joke again without me prompting you. And Bean gets knocked out. Mm-hmm. Bonk in the back
bonk
of his...
in the bean.
Bonk in the bean.
Yeah, I bonk the bean. Bonk that bean every day.
Check out my many...
Every day.
Check out my many vids to see me bonking my bean.
What if it's just me with, like, one of those, like, pinheads that you're supposed to knock over at the carnival? It's just a Michael Bean, and I'm just bonking it.
Would you guys subscribe to that? Let us know.
Look, I need to pay for things. Please subscribe.
Yeah, he gets knocked out. Meanwhile, the pop your cherry ball is cherry popping off or something.
Cherry popping daddy's off? I don't know.
That's a different movie. See our first Urban Legends episode.
Yeah.
We get the nerd from Road Trip who's in this. Like, in passing.
Yeah.
He's getting lucky. And then somebody says the word butt pirate. inappropriate, but said often in this period of time.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely people calling other people butt pirates.
But yeah, they're having this party in this, like, abandoned hall, in this abandoned, like.
It's like an abandoned,
mansion.
Like, historical home, yeah.
Sure. And they're all, like, dancing and they're getting ready.
It actually looks like a fun party.
It does look like a fun party.
That's pretty cool.
Smash cut to Jay Moore's house. Murph meets up with Jay Moore, and she's like, hey, Professor Jay Moore. And he's like, hey, will you help me move my couch into this van?
I'm a bit handicapped. Oh, that's okay. Hey, what are you about a sauce watching?
But that's essentially what happens. She's helping him take a very large chest, like a
steamer trunk.
Yeah, a steamer trunk into the house. And he pushes the trunk down like the very steep basement stairs. And she's like, hey, what's in there? And he's like, I can't believe you fell for this. And then he knocks her out, right?
Yeah, probably like that, yeah.
Smash cut. Oh, no, the best part is Moore's like talking to her. And she's like, what's in the chest? He's like, your dad.
Yeah.
And then, but of course, Moore, as is the tradition post-Scream, now has to go full crazy.
Well, yeah.
He has to be both Billy and Stu, because there's only one Jay Moore.
If only there were two Jay Moores. Oh, God. Moore is Moore.
Did you want more? Do you want double the Moore?
Double Moore.
Double Moore is like a 1960s like detective TV show.
I'd watch that detective
of
show.
Of twins. And their names are both Moore.
Oh my God.
One's an alcoholic and one's addicted to tobacco, and they're always harassing each other about one another's addictions.
Oh, I love it. Can I watch that? Can I watch that later?
Okay. There are like four seasons and then a TV movie.
Nice.
And then nothing ever again. I'm sure like NBC would reboot it now, and everyone, there would be like two influencers.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be related at all. They'd just be like completely separate, like biological makeups, and they'd be like, yeah, they're twins. Don't worry about it. Equality. That's how we do it.
Yeah. What's with them, like, rebooting all that shit? Like, Quantum Leap, Knight Rider, Lethal Weapon?
Is, like, I remember Quantum Leap from my youth, and I loved it because I was, like, 5 years old, and I thought it was, like, cool to, like, have space travel, but, like, kids don't give a fuck about that, and, like, the people that do remember that show are too old to give a fuck about this reboot.
It was almost, like, different lives. It was, like, it was quantum physics kind of shit.
Well, it's, like, in a very loose travel. I don't know. Whatever. I liked Al. He had the cool computer thing.
But what about Alf? He ate cats.
Was that code for puss?
No, because he also looked in on the wife in the shower or whatever. Nice. So he both ate cats.
He's a pussy hound.
And was a literal and figurative pussy hound, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
They just made like a fucking True Lies show, and I'm like, you can't turn
really
a TV into a movie or a movie into a TV every time. Like, you can't do that. You need to have a really strong core of like storytelling to do that type of shit. And I can tell you, probably the True Lies show does not have that.
Interesting.
All right, we went off more and more. Next up, after the Brady Bunch movie,
after Bitch Hunter,
we get the Giallo layer reveal, because now Murph and Michael Biehn are strapped to like dentist type chairs.
Yeah, how do
torture
you think
chairs.
They're really cool.
And Moore reveals they're like chairs that Jonathan Davies from Korn would have in his house.
Yeah, I'm sure he has many
that he had like a friend of Giger make for him. We find out that Moore is actually Laura Lee Sherman's son. And he explains, he's like, why don't you explain what happens? What happened 27 years ago when you were very drunk? Which this is a real endorsement for law enforcement. And if you found out, like, this is not shocking. If you were to tell me that a story came out tomorrow about a sheriff of a small town who turned out to be like a multiple rapist or like that, and then pretty much got away with it, I'd be like, yeah, it's just another Tuesday.
Just another manic Monday.
And Moore's like lust for vengeance, it's fair.
That's like the thing is, like, I guess you're supposed to hate Jay Moore at this point because you're like, oh, you killed all those kids and this and that. And then, like, I don't know, you learn that he was like abused and his mother was like a victim of rape by this guy. And you're like, yeah, I kind of get it. I don't know that you should be killing people that aren't like related to this incident, but I get it.
Your urge for vengeance on the, against these like people in high society or in high places of administrative society that have never gotten any revenge in their lives and that are like fucking losing their minds because it's possible that they could get kickback for a horrible thing they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's the Brett Kavanaugh thing. He's like, how could I possibly get in trouble for this?
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm offended at the idea that someone would be upset about me raping.
Yeah.
And we do get like a protracted flashback at this point where we essentially see a bunch of drunk seniors gang rape the weird girl.
Yeah, but she deserved it because she's weird.
after force feeding her booze, because then nobody believes her. That's another part of it, because she was drunk.
Well, they force fed her like tequila or vodka or something.
You know, tale as old as time. And now Jay Mohr dresses like Davey Havoc. Because he's like halfway in his giallo.
He does have Davey Havoc in the Girls Not Great video.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
They're actually doing like a Sing the Sorrow show. Yeah, they're going to play all of Sing the Sorrow. That's probably going
to
be
sold
out.
We have to go to that.
I don't know.
I want to go to that.
Well, we can look into Tickies.
Tiki Tacks.
And he reveals also that his mom, Jay Mohr does, reveals that his mom, Laura Lee Sherman, was in love with Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
Disgusting. So Mohr bared the brunt of his mom's trauma. And Mohr has this line that is like the thesis of our modern society. He goes, "It's a stinking hypocritical world where rapists become pillars of the community."
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jay Mohr, did you travel forward in time to 2023? Luckily, Kenny comes to the rescue.
Nice. Super cool.
Jay Mohr like shows up at the door because Kenny knocks on it because he sees Brittany Murphy's bike.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What do you want, Kenny?" And he's wearing like a silk bathrobe.
He's wearing like a smoking like bathrobe.
Because he has to cover up his Davy Havoc outfit.
Yeah.
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 And
do one more.
Essentially what happens is like Mohr tries to tussle with Kenny.
A tussle?
But Mohr is like wrecking his shit.
Yeah, well. Somebody works out, somebody doesn't.
But Kenny locks the door and tries to get to Brittany Murph and Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Jay Mohr grabs an axe from like the backyard and he chops the door down. Basically, he grabs an axe from the backyard. Jay Mohr runs in and he fucking ganks Michael Biehn with that axe. And you get a little bit of arterial spray where you're like, oh, that was not good. But Murph is noticeably and appropriately distressed that her dad just got axe murdered.
Her dad just got murdered in front of her, and she just found out that her teacher that she had a crush on is a murderer and also her stepbrother. So,
but also her dad deserved it.
Yeah, he definitely did.
There's a lot of like screaming. Everyone's screaming. Jay Mohr is screaming. That's right, and it's pretty funny. And Mohr puts the wig back on. And
yeah,
now he's in action.
I like his commitment to like this
to the
outfit.
Bit. Yeah. Kenny and Murph escape. And they run to the Fuck Mansion. Then, like, a red shirt cop shows up.
Yeah.
And he's basically, like, stopping them. And he's like, hey, you know, I have to stay here. I can't just split. And then he gets choppied in the head.
So he splits in half?
That's right. They got him. That's semantic Ginsu knife.
I thought it was an axe.
They get to the fuck party, and also Jay Mohr gets to the fuck party, and he starts slaughtering this fuck party.
He starts murking bitches left and right, and it is beautiful, and I wish I had the unedited version, because I'm sure, like, there's just a bunch of titties getting, like,
choppy.
Because
at this point, by the way, when they run into the fuck party,
everybody's been fucking.
Yeah, except for the stoner kid and Murph's friend. They're, like, slow dancing.
Yeah.
But everyone's upstairs having a straight-up orgy.
You remember as a teenager, you were totally fine with your own body, so, like, showing it off to, like, a bunch of other people that you don't like.
Like Fidelio.
Fidelio, like, yeah.
And, yeah, Mohr goes up there and he starts just, like, wrecking house. And because high schoolers aren't known for their cooperation, they end up creating a bottleneck down the stairs. And, like,
people
are being crushed. Cops are getting crushed. Yeah. And basically, Mohr and...
Kenny?
Yeah, Mohr and Kenny have another tussle.
Yeah.
And just because of, like, being off balance, Mohr gets judo thrown.
Oh, my God. Through the window.
Okay. And onto a, like, stair post. He's impaled through the chest.
Yeah. Like a wrought iron, like
I thought
poker.
It was wood.
I thought it was wood.
Wood. And he's supposedly dead, but also scream. We need to have more jump scare. He tries to pop up. I don't know how he would do that. His insides have been turned to spaghettis.
I don't know.
And the deputy from earlier has his dual-wielding pistols. She lights him up.
I know. It's so good.
And so a man who is committing a righteous act of vengeance dies.
Yeah. Then what happens, Dr. Ben?
Well, Murph agrees to continue to bury the secret of her corrupt father and the corrupt members of the town. And that's it. Yeah, we essentially totally validate the behavior of these horrible people.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, I know my dad was a rapist, whatever. I know that's like my half brother that just got murdered, whatever. And her mom is just like, I love Xanax.
Great job, honey. And then it
but
shows...
But on the bright side, lady cop gets to become, like, head cop now, I guess.
Probably. Oh, right. Because the ending is them agreeing to essentially bury the secret, and the FBI's like, so there's no connection between all of these people? Because there seems like there's a lot of reason for there to be connection. Huh. And they're like, no. And the FBI's like, all right, I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
Off to Quantico we go. And then it cuts to the falls and they run red.
Whoa.
With blood of animals and children. How many Hymen Holocausts out of 10 do you give this book?
Oh, probably 8. It would be a solid 10. Like I said, if there's an unedited version with the actual gore, it's going to bump up in my list. Because I think this movie is really fun. It's the basis for why we started this podcast. It's got a lot of post-Scream energy that's executed poorly because nobody can be the writers of Scream. And nobody can be like Wes Craven directing that kind of stuff. So it's not quite as good. I think we both read the trivia on this and like they had approached David Lynch to direct
they
this.
Did.
But David had something else going on, so
I can only imagine what a slasher like this with this type of foundation directed by David
Mr. Lynch
would be like. It would be incredible. You have no concept. We would zoom in on a pipe adjacent to Cherry Falls showing the muck and grime beneath the beautiful vistas.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, this movie's great. It's definitely worth watching and watching with other people. Don't watch it alone. It's not like a fun movie by yourself. It's like a batshit crazy movie that you need to react
to.
Yeah,
and you also want to have some like potions on board because if you approach it bluntly. Well, yeah, I also give it 8 out of 10 Giallo Moors.
Yeah.
But this is like, it's a very bizarre slasher movie. I enjoy it. The style is very surreal. Everyone is extremely horny, and the conceit of a killer going after virgins is, you know, you're flipping the script. I wish they did a little bit more with that or leaned into the, like, satirizing of that more, but you can tell that this is kind of a chop job, too. We kind of talked about it.
Yeah, you can totally tell that.
The clothing and music is very of its time.
Very good, yeah.
And if you want to hashtag Y2K, then you should be forced to reckon with the politics of these type of
time. Yeah, that's the thing. Nobody wants to recognize the politics of Y2K, which were horrendous.
The actual motive behind Moore's revenge is disgusting. Like, what happened to him and to his mom is disgusting, and it's almost, you know, it gets darker with hindsight and with modern politics and modern approaches to, like, how we treat women and their autonomy and the concept of rape. So I should say this is, like, an extremely problematic film, and at the end of the day, you look on it with the reality that, like, these people in authority should be punished.
But this is also a very true movie of its time. You wouldn't have the movie where, like, Michael Biehn isn't a scumbag and having it brushed under the rug. Do you know what I mean? Like, in modern times, they'd be like, there's justice for everyone. And it's like, no, but in the 2000s, we didn't care. We just wanted whatever, like, was just the easiest.
Yeah.
Like, nobody made waves.
No, nobody made waves, and it's prescient, this idea of having a movie about these people in high authority who are originally extremely corrupt in how they behaved, getting away with shit.
Yeah.
So, 8 out of 10. I wanted to announce our next movie. We actually kind of alluded to it from the year 2000. Starring Gerard Butler and Colleen Fitzpatrick, or you pop music enthusiasts may know her as Vitamin C.
Woo!
Dracula 2000.
Woo!
Holy moly. I saw this movie in theaters with Ryan, actually, I knew him well, for this kid's birthday. And you're in for a treat.
I think I've seen this with you.
You have.
And that was it. And I was like...
And you will again! So, until next time...
Hail, virgin high, drop your pants and fuck or die!
See you guys.
Bye.
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming, but more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.